Whatever you might be going through and wherever you might be, this is Omar Serrato with the Tilted Lawyer Podcast. I'm here to take your mind off of things. Yes, I'm an attorney. No, I'm not giving you legal advice. We're going to sit and talk like people, as these are the candid thoughts of one practicing attorney, and it's after hours. So have a seat. Feel free to have a drink and join me. Let's get started. Let's talk about Justin Baldoni. So last time I talked about this case a couple of weeks ago, there was a threat on Baldoni's camp from his attorney that, oh, there's a lawsuit forthcoming. We're suing the shit out of Lively and everybody else. Well, he followed through and he made good on that promise. He is suing Blake Lively for $400 million. He has released a 179-page complaint. I'm going to go over some of it. I'm definitely not reading 179 pages of it, but these are the highlights. So he's seeking $400 million in damages. He's asking for a jury trial. Of course he is. The lawsuit is accusing Lively of civil extortion. That's a very serious charge that carries possible criminal implications. Defamation, invasion of privacy. He's alleging that Lively sought to destroy Baldoni and his career after hijacking his film. So now it was a hijacking. Funny, because Lively is accusing him of exactly the same thing. And I've told you before, I'm not on anybody's side. I don't even know who Blake Lively is. I've seen pictures of her now. I don't know who Baldoni is. I haven't watched that movie. I've seen pictures of Baldoni. He's a good-looking guy. Lively's a good-looking lady. They're good-looking people. They're suing each other. They're both accusing each other of trying to end the career of the other. We learned from Lively's lawsuit that there were nudity markers. What do we call them, Dominic? Remember? Nudity something. Nudity writers. And they had written contractually. They had choreographed, like what I've learned since was like a 5-second sex scene that really didn't even show anything, that was more suggestive than anything else. But anyway, there was dozens of pages in contracts of how that was supposed to go down. Lively took exception to some comments that were made during the shooting of it all. He had accused Baldoni in his camp of trying to go through a smear campaign to ace her out of Hollywood, I guess. Now, Justin Baldoni is coming here to say pretty much the exact same thing. So the suit claims that Lively is using her power to seize control of the film and set out to destroy plaintiffs' livelihoods and businesses, because as it was identified a couple of weeks ago, Baldoni is involved in a number of charity pursuits and other ventures. He also claims that Lively and her team implemented a smear campaign against him to deflect blame from her disastrous misjudgments. We're going to learn about what that is in a little bit. The lawsuit also contends that Blake Lively and her team disseminated grossly edited, unsubstantiated, new, and doctored information to the media, and that is attached in her complaint. It also names Ryan Reynolds and Leslie Sloan as defendants. They're getting sued too. It claims that Baldoni's lawsuit claims that Lively sought to take over much of the film's creative direction, including having Reynolds rewrite a scene and make unauthorized changes to the script. The suit states that Reynolds swore at Baldoni and accused him of fat-shaming his wife. Now, I don't know Blake Lively, but I know what she looks like. She looks to me to be about like a buck 10. 5'5", a buck 10. There's nothing fat on that lady. I couldn't possibly imagine what she could possibly be talking about. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying it doesn't make sense that she would be the victim of or the recipient of fat-shaming comments from anyone. Baldoni alleges that Reynolds encouraged the talent agency to drop him as a client. Now, Baldoni's attorney, Brian Friedman, claims to have an overwhelming amount of untampered evidence that proves Lively, Reynolds, and their team attempted to destroy Baldoni and his team. In addition to this lawsuit against Lively, Reynolds, and Sloan, Baldoni has also sued the New York Times for $250 million. We learned about that lawsuit a couple weeks ago. accusing the publication of working with Blake to publish a one-sided article and other stuff. So what is Lively saying to all of this? Obviously, she's saying it's bullshit. So their legal team has responded to the lawsuit, characterizing it as a continuation of an abuser playbook. It's so funny, man. Like, I read these celebrity lawsuits, and they use words like abuser playbook and fat shaming and smear campaigns and these kinds of things. And I know those terms to be and mean completely different things in my real life cases involving non-celebrities. Abuse playbook means significantly different than whatever in the F Lively is on about. It usually involves narcissistic traits and tendencies, fear and intimidation, threats on physical well-being, extreme emotional manipulation, and otherwise. From what I can tell, this was a disagreement over the creative licenses and the creative direction of a meddling movie called Ends With Us or whatever it's called. It's not a rom-com. A couple weeks ago, I said it was a rom-com. They're like, oh my God, it's not even a rom-com. Sorry, I haven't watched the movie. I'm not going to watch it. All I'm saying is it is a marginal movie, run-of-the-mill for 2024. It came out to a meh fanfare, and it is what it is. They had creative disagreements over the direction of the film. It led to hurt feelings and bruised egos, and we got a couple of competing lawsuits as a result, totaling damn near $1 billion in damages being competed for by the multiple parties. So Lively's team responds to Baldoni. She uses the abuser playbook line. They state that Baldoni is attempting to turn the tables on the victim by denying, attacking, and reversing the victim offender roles, also known as DARVO. There's an accusation of retaliation, that this lawsuit is pure retaliation. Whenever anybody cross-sues somebody or files a competing lawsuit, you're going to get the accusation that it's for purposes of retaliation. Lively's team claims that Baldoni is trying to shift the focus to Lively by falsely asserting that she seized creative control and alienated the cast. Lively's legal team has stated that Baldoni's strategy of attacking Lively is desperate and does not refute the evidence in her complaint, although it kind of actually does a little bit. Lively's team reiterates that she spoke up with concrete evidence of sexual harassment and retaliation, and that Baldoni is trying to divert attention from the abuse. They note that Baldoni's team is saying that she wanted it, it's her fault, and also look what she's wearing. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, they're saying that it's a smear campaign. So let me get into some, and again, I'm not going to go through the entire effing lawsuit, but what I am going to do is go over some of the facts that are being bandied about. The causes of action, we kind of know what they are. Let me share my screen with you guys so I can do this. I got way too many tabs open right now. It's making it difficult for me to find things. Okay, here we go. Present, share, window, and here it is. All right, so here we go. Let me get rid of that so I can make it a little bit bigger and get rid of this. All right, so this is a lawsuit. It is a lawsuit. It is in federal court. It's in the Southern District of New York. And they introduce it as follows. The following is not a story plaintiffs ever wished to tell. I already like the writing to begin with. Unfortunately, defendant Blake Lively has unequivocally left them with no choice, not only to set the record straight in response to Lively's accusations, but also to put the spotlight on the parts of Hollywood that they have dedicated their careers to being the antithesis of. I take it back. That's a poorly written sentence. That task was always going to be an uphill battle. They never imagined they would encounter it to this degree. Had Lively chosen to merely ride out the self-inflicted press catastrophe she faced in August of 24, the public would likely have moved on and never known the truth about her. They would have never known that she deliberately and systematically robbed plaintiffs, Justin Baldoni, and Wayfarer Studios of their movie. No one except the parties involved would have known that she used threats and extortion to relegate the colleagues she once highly praised to a basement to sit out their own premiere while she enjoyed the spotlight of a premiere and after party that was ultimately co-financed by both Wayfair and Sony. I find it extremely hard to believe that any of that happened. That somehow Blake Lively put them in timeout. They weren't allowed to attend their premiere. What are they on about right now? Look, you guys might hear this. When I was doing the other show a couple of weeks ago, you thought that I was taking Lively's side. I wasn't. I was reciting her complaints. I have no idea the veracity of who's telling the truth. I just don't. I just know she accused Baldoni of some ugly things. And this is Baldoni's retorts. This is their recital, and so I'm not going to get into the self-serving introduction too much about what she could have done, and we're here now, so that's what matters. What is Lively stole Wayfair's movie, again with that, and then they go on to say, plaintiffs now have no choice but to fight back. Good, so we're here. Lively wields immense power. All right, I think we just need to get to the gist, don't we? How long is this introduction? Oh, here is something. Let's see what's the context of this text message. The film was the hotly anticipated adaptation of a worldwide best-selling book by Colleen Hoover. And by starring in it as Lily, Lively stood to enhance her already considerable star power. But she was not content merely to headline one of the year's biggest movies. Instead, apparently driven by overweening ambition and a need for control, and there's a footnote, in an early meeting with Baldoni, Lively foreshadowed what was to come, stating, I'm afraid you have too much power, referencing Baldoni's dual role as producer and director. This statement made an early impact on Baldoni, who felt compelled to reassure her the relationship would be collaborative and went above and beyond to make it so. This was not an invitation to sideline him and his producing partners. Okay? Lively eventually leveraged her power as a wealthy celebrity to wrest the reins from her co-star and the film's director, to which I would argue it looks like they had this discussion very early on and he made certain concessions. So they both wanted and discussed measures of control and came to an understanding. So let's see where we're going with this. Baldoni insisting on total control over every aspect of the film she could get her hands on, from wardrobe to marketing strategy to music, even creating her own cut of the film. Not only did Lively's power play cost numerous people their jobs, but at every turn, her wrong-headed creative decisions reflected her fundamental lack of understanding of the book the film was based on. This came as no surprise to her worried colleagues, given that well into the production, Lively had not even read the book. To which I guess I would say, so effing what? She wants to take creative license for her character. Maybe that's a move to not read the book. Maybe she just wanted to read the movie script. I don't know. If I sound like I'm defending Lively, it's because whenever I read these lawsuits, I read them from my perspective as if I'm defending the lawsuit. In essence, I'm looking for holes in their logic. I'm looking for holes in their lawsuit in ways that they can be attacked. And so far, I'm unimpressed at this preamble that Baldoni's attorney has presented through his filing. So there's this text message, September 14, 2023, text message from Baldoni to Heath. After rereading the book, which had 150 pages to build their relationship, we have combined scenes to heighten the stakes for Ryle in pursuit of Lily, utilizing humor and his desire to sleep with her. While I understand Blake's reasons for not wanting to read the book does a very good job in getting in Lily's mind during her interactions with Ryle and setting up the why behind her attraction to him. Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying that that's not a valid contention, but, you know, they are both creative, artistic types. Maybe they got their own processes and their own ideas. So, paragraph 10. Lively's disastrous marketing efforts and tone-deaf press interviews and appearances backfired and led to widespread criticism of Lively's promotional approach to the film's highly sensitive focus on domestic violence. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I was talking about this as a rom-com. It turns out It was a movie that highlights domestic violence in various other ways. I was not aware, and I apologize for that characterization. There were past videos of Lively that resurfaced online, videos that appear to solidify a public perception that Lively was an insensitive, mean girl who cared more about peddling her products than acknowledging the domestic violence survivor community. Social media commenters quickly pointed out that her tie-in of her alcohol beverages was in particularly poor taste, given the World Health Organization estimates that 55% of domestic violence incidents. Oh, get the F out of here. I'm going to move on because this is a lot of fluff in this complaint, and I'm not going to subject you guys to all of it. I'm not going to subject myself to it. This is their account, their framing of what led up to these causes of actions. And so I'm kind of just looking for a hook. All right, so here we got an email. When it ends with us, author Colleen Hoover watched 5 feet apart in theaters. She told Baldoni, "You were the right person to make this movie." We're going on more about this kind of stuff. There's an email that speaks to that. That's great. We are Wafer, Colleen Hoover. Thank you so much for the email. I wasn't expecting you to read it so quickly. I'd love to talk to you. So they had discussions, and she was impressed with him and his understanding of her book, is what I'm assuming there. So paragraph 24, soon after, Wayfair partners with Sony to co-finance and distribute. All they're really doing is they're setting the tone for what led up to this litigation. We're not even getting into what happened on set. So here it is. Paragraph B, we're finally here. During pre-production, Baldoni and Lively begin a promising and close collaboration. So on or about December 31, 2022. Lively agrees to take the lead role of Lily Bloom, and as part of the subsequent negotiations, Lively was granted an executive producer credit, a title often given to talent of her stature. Lively had requested a producer credit, but Wayfair and Sony demurred, given that such a title would not accurately reflect the role she was asked to play in the production. Wayfair did not request nor require that Lively contribute to the film in any capacity beyond her roles as actor and executive producer. In the beginning, it appeared that Baldoni and Lively would have a positive, collaborative, creative partnership. Their working relationship grew close, shared stories and stuff. Lively even felt comfortable enough to make silly jokes, redirecting a sweet compliment Baldoni gave. And here is attached nice text messages between the two of them. This was the nature of their relationship, which makes Lively's later allegations all the more baffling, because I'm guessing if there was stuff to allege, it wouldn't have occurred at the beginning polite stages of their relationship, would it have? It would have began after Baldoni thought that Lively was starting to assert control almost immediately. And this speaks to their paragraph C. Almost immediately, Lively began inserting herself into the production process in intrusive ways well beyond the scope of her contractual entitlements. For example, Lively began to insist on creative control over her character's wardrobe, which, by the way, I'm not so sure that that's all that unreasonable. She's the one playing the character. She has her ideas of what the character would wear. I don't see why she shouldn't have input into the wardrobe. Again, they're not saying input. They're saying creative control. While lead actors are sometimes granted approval over their character's general look, they generally do not receive full control over wardrobe decisions without input from the director or producers. What may seem like an innocuous request can in fact have monumental impact on a film's production. I'm going to need to see an example, sir. Ignoring the director's vision for her character and disposing of the weeks of effort and creativity spent by the wardrobe team on shopping and carefully crafting her wardrobe, Lively sent hundreds of images to the film's costume designer, including into the late hours of evening, depicting the style of wardrobe she wanted for her character. The costume designer had to reshop Lively's wardrobe. Far exceeding the allocated budget and diverting time and resources while also preparing wardrobes for the rest of the cast. And at one point, Lively insisted that her character had money and could afford $5,000 shoes. Even if you could afford $5,000 shoes, Would you, Dominic, if you could afford, let's just say that you were a billionaire. At what point would you say, oh yeah, you know what? Let me buy those $5,000 shoes. I need that.
I honestly don't really care about shoes like that.
Yeah, me neither. Look, I could afford shoes. I have found that anything over $100 spent on shoes is generally a waste. There's very few exceptions to that. Very few. If it's just like walking around stuff, I mean, I don't know, man.
Bruce said you're going to have to wear the Love Love costume in his autobiography movie.
What in the hell is even that, Bruce? Whatever that is. I know that's a Lauren Knighty thing. I've never understood that term, and I'm afraid to ask. At one point, Lively insists, oh, we talked about it. This forced Baldoni to rethink the entire script. Really? Because of the wardrobe? This forced Baldoni to rethink the entire script that had been in the works for well over a year and was approved by both Sony and Wayfarer, a script that Wayfarer had commissioned multiple drafts of and incorporated countless notes. The wardrobe budget ballooned. Then fucking tell her no. Am I wrong if he just tells her, no, we're not doing that? Then what is she going to do about it? Then maybe she drops out of the film and you get somebody else to play Lily or whatever. But how does her opinion about her character's preference for wardrobe culminate in Baldoni being forced to rethink the entire script? If I'm a judge reading this, if I'm opposing counsel, I'm unimpressed with this complaint thus far. They're taking far too many liberties and causing me to make far too many assumptions about the nature of this business that I'm not comfortable making in their favor. I have questions, is all I'm saying. Lively often refused to participate in wardrobe fittings at the production office, which was a mere 15 minutes from her home. Instead, she insisted that the costume department pack up wardrobe and deliver it to her personal residence, loading the wardrobe department on trucks and delivering the contents to Lively's home in the middle of congested Manhattan for fittings, cost, time, and money. Then get an effing other person to work with. Look, if she wants to be difficult, there's nothing stopping you from getting somebody else. There's this podcast that I listen to. It's called You Must Remember This. And they talk about the history of Hollywood and how they're, you know, going all the way back to like the 1910s, like the silent films. And they kind of like almost with encyclopedic knowledge highlight how Hollywood has worked for like the last 120 years. And when there's been plenty of examples of people who were difficult to work with, where it's like, you know, fuck it, I'll just get somebody else. She's not the only Blake Lively. I don't even know who she is. You can name 20 other celebrities that look exactly like her that I would know before her. And they might do it for cheaper, and they might be more enthusiastic to do it. And they might even decide to read the effing book. And they might even decide that, you know what? She doesn't wear $5,000 shoes. She's over there trying to get the $60 Walmart that are the best that she could manipulate into looking like $5,000 shoes. Maybe that's her creative style because of her financial impediments. Maybe you get somebody. Maybe it's not a blonde. Maybe it's a brunette. Maybe you get that Wednesday chick. What's her name? Jenna Ortega. She's like the next best thing out there going. I could see her in a movie that highlights the perils of domestic violence. Why do we got to sell on this? If she's truly behaving in this way and making it difficult and costing everybody more money, then get somebody else. It's not that hard to read 150 pages in like a day or two if you wanted them to read the book. It's not that difficult to get somebody to read the scripts in Hollywood in a movie that's supposed to be the biggest of the year. I'm sure they could get others to do it, especially if she's behaving in this way and you had contractual obligations that were related to her obligations, as you have told me in subsequent paragraphs, higher up that we have already read, then she's in breach of contract and remove her from the film. Why are we wasting time in making these accommodations? Because one could argue, not one, a judge will argue or ask the question that isn't it true that if you knew that she had these demands and she was causing all of these problems, that in the contract, You had remedies whereby you could have went after a different star. And isn't it true then, if you decided not to do that, then you were basically acquiescing and consenting to these new demands because you really wanted Blake Lively on the set? What are we doing? And so, look, I sympathize. Maybe she's in full-on diva mode or whatever, but you had remedies and you chose not to utilize them. Rather, you continued on in due course, made the proper concessions that she asked you to make. And if you go back to your bar study, you would understand that whenever there is a counter proposal or basically a demand to act outside of the boundaries of a contract, what that represents is a counteroffer. And a counteroffer that can be accepted by the conduct of the parties. And if she says, I want to change the wardrobe, and you say, okay, and then you change the effing wardrobe, well, guess what? The terms of the contract have changed now. Because by your conduct, you're no longer operating under the old contract. Contract, you're operating under these new terms. So what are we doing? The whole purpose of contracts is to make them enforceable. And when somebody breaks the rules, you have remedies. If you don't utilize them, that's on you. I'm not very sympathetic to Baldoni in reading this complaint, and I'm actually reading his complaint. I don't want you to misconstrue my criticism of his complaint as me supporting or defending Blake Lively, because I don't know that lady. And like I said, I don't know who's telling the truth. I'm just saying that the way that this complaint is written is stupid. That's my legal opinion. How about that? All right. In an effort to maintain the harmony, folks, I'm like, and on page 20 of 179, obviously I'm not going to finish this whole effing thing today, but I'm going to get through a good portion of it. He concedes, Baldoni concedes, the way that I'm reading this is I would replace this language. In an effort to maintain harmony at the start of their working relationship and to avoid further delays caused by wardrobe conflicts, Baldoni and the studio ceded full control to Lively over her wardrobe. Do you know what that represents in contract law? That represents an offer to alter the original contract and an acceptance of that offer on the part of Baldoni. Which, granted, they've conceded that here, and I gotta imagine that they know that because they are capable attorneys, and they're telling us this purposely to try to paint their client as he really tried to make this work, but she made it impossible. Despite his concessions, she still did this stuff. That's where we're going with this. So ignore my rants, but my rants are valid in so far as that's how contract law works. He says this concession quickly proved regrettable. So on the first day of principal photography, paparazzi captured and published photos of Lively in character wearing her hand-picked wardrobe. These images were widely reported as unflattering and sparked a backlash from Sony. There is a footnote. Notably, Lively herself had voiced insecurities about the public perception of her casting as Lily Bloom. Lily is described as a 23-year-old young woman and recent college graduate within the first few pages. Hey, isn't that how old Jenna Ortega is? Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Dominic's crush. I think that's Dominic's celebrity crush. I think he says something like that. That one or some other smallish lady. I forget what he said. I'm not responsible for Dominic's crushes, for the record. Although I will say that my gay brother once watched the show and he's like, hey, Dominic's looking kind of stout. And I was like, do you want his number? And I even said, hey, Dominic, just so you know, my brother thinks you're cute. And I forgot what he said. But he was not down. That's all I know. That's all I know. Anyway, they say stuff in a footnote. Following these events, Baldoni approached Lively in her trailer to discuss necessary wardrobe adjustments and resetting their relationship to assert his role as director and his need to to have approval over her wardrobe. But wait a minute, I thought we just conceded the wardrobe issue. Now he's trying to take it back. The conversation, while professional, took considerable time and was later grossly misrepresented in Lively's CRD complaint. I feel like I know how this is going to go. They described her wardrobe decisions as unflattering on Lively. And maybe that's where Lively construes that he straight up said that I look fat in my wardrobe. And maybe that's where the fat comments come from. I don't know. I don't remember seeing those comments characterized, but I didn't read the entire complaint from Lively. I just read the highlights. So maybe it's in there somewhere. But I could just see where she's now taking these comments over his attempt to try to have some reconciliation over the wardrobe as, well, he's just criticizing my appearance and dehumanizing me and over-sexualizing me, and I don't like it, and I'm, you know, the whole thing. I've seen sexual assault complaints over much less. Not sexual harassment complaints. The conversation, while professional, took considerable time and was later grossly misrepresented in Lively's CRD complaint, which falsely characterized the exchange as a lengthy outburst. Well, I guess we'll never know, right? Because, I mean, her characterization is that it was a lengthy outburst, and then he is over here saying, no, it was the quaintest of discussions. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. You know, that's the problem with eyewitness testimony, is that unless you have multiple witnesses testifying to the same thing, it's really not reliable. She says it was a lengthy outburst and he was dehumanizing her and over-sexualizing her. He says that he was being utmost respectful to her and just trying to discuss professionally necessary wardrobe adjustments. Where's the truth in that? I don't know, but you're not going to find it talking to these two effing people. That's what I know. So, the lengthy outburst, according to Lively, delayed filming caused the crew to wait for hours while Baldoni cried in Lively's dressing. On information and belief, Lively circulated this false account to the New York Times with the intention and result that it be widely published. This conversation did not take hours. And any length of time it took was not because Baldoni cried for hours. I gotta admit that sounds off. That just doesn't make sense. How is he the one with a lengthy outburst bursting into tears? I don't know. Maybe he was so upset that he started crying. That happens. In truth, rather than take heed of the concerns of the film's distributor and director, Lively took this time to, among other things, suggest to Baldoni that he was being gaslit by Sony, Heath, and the other producer, and trying to convince him to let her continue to take the helm. Baldoni did briefly become emotional during the conversation, but only in response to what he believed was a genuine compliment from Lively, praising his work as a director and actor. Oh, Jesus. These people. Praising his work as a director. Okay, in hindsight, this was part and parcel of the ongoing pattern of manipulation and gaslighting by Lively, intended to continue to allow her autonomy over her wardrobe. Well, F that lady for giving him a compliment. That was definitely a manipulation tactic. Jesus. The more that I'm reading this complaint, the less I'm liking. I don't want to say that I don't like Baldoni. I don't even know the guy. I don't like his attorney's characterization of events. It's way too self-serving to be believable. I'm almost like wanting to just, what are you alleging? Just what's the allegation? Get to the effing point. Because I'm reading this, I'm not expecting to get any truth out of anything. I need to hear from the witnesses. You say that he did some things. Tell me what's your evidence. You're saying she did some things. Show me your evidence. Now, there is evidence attached to this lawsuit. I'm going to get to that. I'm just saying that this over-the-top self-serving style of legal writing, I don't favor, because it has, as it's doing with me, it runs the risk of turning off the reader, who is not a juror, who is not a reader of Entertainment News Digest or whatever celebrity magazine or whatever. but is a logical, legal thinker experienced in these causes of action. And when I read something like this, all I see is self-serving statements that he's not going to be able to prove, and he's trying to color the narrative the same way that she tried to color the narrative. There's no value to reading this. So then why in the F is it 179 pages? I'm reading that as an attorney. I'm reading that from the perspective of what I'd imagine a judge would be reading it from whatever opposing counsel is thinking when he's reading and thinking of ways to attack this on discovery. There's so much of this that is just nonsense. It's fluff. It's fluff. He gives another example of pre-production stage stuff. What does he say? Lively sent Baldoni a long text describing how directors never permitted her to write scenes for the movies she acted in, nor gave her writing credits, even making her hand scribble for suggestions for lines so that they could not be traced to her. Lively boasted that she had even written for her husband's movies. Lively asked if she could take a pass at writing the rooftop scene and It Ends With Us, in which the characters Ryle and Lily first meet. This pivotal scene, much beloved by book fans, was critical for setting the tone for the movie. So Baldoni was reluctant to allow an actor, rather than a union screenwriter, to rewrite this key scene. But Baldoni felt the need to allow Lively to rewrite the scene and agree to take a look at what she put together. Well, that's his effing fault. Because if I'm Baldoni, and I think it's that important, I'm telling Blake Lively to go take a hike. You're not rewriting shit. Either act the part the way that it was written or get the F out. It's not like we can't get 20 other people to play this part. You're not integral to this movie. Dominic, I don't want to speak out of turn. You are our resident Gen Z. Who is Blake Lively to you?
I had no idea until this stuff came out.
Could you name 10 female celebrities? Well, I'm not sure that I could, honestly. They'd have to be from mine. I don't know who Blake Lively is my point. Like, A-listers nowadays are not the same as A-listers from the 90s, where the internet was not as big, AI was not a thing. Everything was not on social media. You got your sources of information from a few preconceived sources, and they were all on network television. If you were Demi Moore back in the 90s, she was like one of like five that people knew about. Nowadays, you got TikTok, you got Instagram, you got Facebook, and all these other social media platforms. You can make a star out of anybody. I've never heard of Blake Lively. I've heard of the name. I don't know who she is, but she's definitely not, because I see her name in a movie, making me rush to go purchase that movie. I mean, neither is Ryan Reynolds for that to that degree, but other women would disagree. Some women like Ryan Reynolds. I don't know. My only point is, for all of these grievances that Baldoni is listing here, it strikes me as he had ample opportunity to just tell her no. And every time that he doesn't tell her no, he's hurting his case. Insofar as these serve as like little contractual manipulations that he concedes to every single time. And at some point, you got to have a line that is crossed to where you decide, you know what, I'm going to go get Jenna Ortega. Or who is a blonde lady that you would want to see in a film, Dominic? That's like 23 years old. I don't know of any.
I don't know of any either.
I don't know. Get the lady that is in Landman. I just watched that show. There's like an 18-year-old girl. I don't know if she's really 18, but she plays an 18-year-old girl in that film. It's not a film. It's a TV show with Billy Bob. Get that lady. Up-and-comer, Taylor Sheridan show. There was another one from 1883. There's plenty of up-and-coming stars out there that want to make a name for themselves and be involved in a movie of this magnitude. Why are we wasting our time with Blake Lively? Who in the hell is she? If you are a fan of Blake Lively, please understand, I'm not trying to denigrate her in any kind of a way. I'm just saying, if Baldoni was really this upset with her during the production process, What was stopping him from getting somebody else? I'm attacking his lawsuit by attacking his decision-making and emphasizing the fact that he had multiple opportunities to fix this before it got too far. Because every instance of his concessions makes his claims less likely to succeed, in my opinion. Now, he's accusing her of other stuff not related to these things, defamation and whatnot. I'm just stating that these are competing lawsuits, and Baldoni has been put on the defense. Lively is the first one to have brought these claims. And the way this is reading to me is this: if somebody has been accused of things that are bad, and he's trying to explain his actions the best way that he can, and in doing so, he's being forced to highlight.
Oh, someone in chat said Margot Robbie. That would have been a good one.
She's too old for 23, though. Isn't she like 35 now?
Yeah, but she still looks kind of young, I think. I don't think Lively's that young either.
I have no idea how Margot Robbie would have been perfect, but I think that she's a little old to be playing 23. She was in Wolf of Wall Street. How long ago was that movie?
It was
2013 or something?
Yeah,
that was 12 years ago, man. I think in that movie she was like 25, so she's like 37 now? And it's a bit old to be playing 23.
She's younger than Lively. Lively's 37, Margot's 34.
Get the fuck out of here. Well, then you're right. Margot Robbie. Hell yeah. Margot Robbie is an A-lister. She would have took the part, I'm sure. Maybe she would have been too expensive, though. Maybe she's a known diva, which is the reason why you don't go and get a Margot Robbie. I don't know, man. She's worked with freaking Leonardo DiCaprio. She's not going to listen to Jason Baldoni. Or, you know what I mean? Justin Baldoni. Is his name Jason or Justin?
Justin.
All right. I don't know. I feel like... Go get a 23-year-old, man. Go get a 23-year-old that's trying to make a name for herself, and you won't have these issues. But, you know, he wanted what he wanted. There was a look, I'm assuming, that he was going for. I was going on a rant. I forgot what I was talking about. It doesn't matter. Okay, so there was a draft of the rooftop scene that Lively sent Baldoni dramatically differed from what had been originally written. Baldoni was hesitant about many of the changes, but thanked Lively for her passion and diplomatically told her that the scene would likely end up being somewhere between the original and Lively's version. Diplomatically, I'm sure. It's funny, defense attorneys, their clients are always just like the saints with the best of intentions. Seemingly stung by Baldoni's exceedingly mild resistance, Lively did not respond and went silent for multiple days. Okay, is it more likely that Baldoni said, look, your version is stupid. We're not doing it that way. We're going to do it this way, and you're going to like it. You say that to somebody like Blake Lively, I feel like maybe that would cause her to go silent for multiple days. But if you said it diplomatically, as he said, maybe it goes something like, look, I appreciate this version, but this is the original version. There's key differences here. If we do it your way, this is what we lose. And we can't lose the main tenor of this. We got to stick to the chorus. We agree? I feel like that would invite further discussion, at which point maybe it becomes, you know, this escalation. Like, you know what? We're not doing it your way, Lively. Blake, we're not doing it like that. And then she goes silent. At some point, there was an outburst. There had to have been. It doesn't make sense for there not to have been an outburst. And then she goes silent for multiple days, which she confirmed in a text message below, by the way. So Baldoni's response, of course, didn't feel great for me or another mega celebrity friend in Ryan Reynolds. Would you consider Ryan Reynolds to be a mega celebrity?
Yeah, I would.
What has he played in? What movies has he been in that's not like superhero movies?
Not superhero movies?
That movies, like movies that I would watch. Wasn't he in the Notebook or something?
No, you're thinking of Ryan Gosling.
Oh yeah, that guy that was in Remember the Titans. I don't know, man. Maybe he is an A-lister, but Blake Lively, I would not consider her A-lister. But you know, you don't have to go. It doesn't matter what I think. If people say she's an A-lister, she is. I want to read this text message. All right. So later, Baldoni felt obliged to text Lively to say that he had liked her pages and hadn't needed Reynolds and her mega celebrity friend to pressure him. Lively responded that the two were her dragons. Get the fuck out of here. All right, I gotta read the text. Where's the text message? All right, let me just get to the text message. I apologize for it being a little bit blurry. It's the PDF, it's not me. I'm Blake Lively. If you send me the FDX, I'll work when I can steal moments. What is FDX? FedEx? And yes, of course, please send to Christy. We're all on the same team with the same goal. Is that jazz hands or prayer hands or something? Great. Also was working on a rooftop scene today. I really love what you did. Love it. It really does hep a lot. Makes it so much more fun and interesting. And I would have felt that way without Ryan and Taylor. You really are a talent across the board. Really excited and grateful to do this together. That totally screams of her like effing up the scene and deviating from the original and him being pissed off about it, doesn't it? Where are we going with this text? Lively says, that's very appreciated. It means a lot. I'm deeply inspired by the film we're going to make outside of the success of this book. We have such an opportunity to not only surprise people who love the book, but reach an even bigger audience by making an undeniably dynamic and also... Blake, did you write this with AI? Oh. When people talk to me like that, if somebody were to send you that text message, what would you think?
It's so robotic.
Would you even read the rest of it?
No.
Yeah, because it's written by AI. She totally AI'd that shit. You know how you could tell? The hallmark of AI writing is that the paragraphs are like the same in size. And then there's a lot of filler fluff language. I'm getting that. Look, maybe it's not AI. Maybe that's just how she writes. She glazed my eyes over within the first sentence. The moment that excited me the most the other day was when you said, you're not funny. You are going to kill that rooftop scene. You know it, I'm sure, even though it was said in playful self-deprecation that we all participate in, it made me think of the process as a whole. Please know I trust that on the day you've got me, and I hope that you trust that I've got you if you want it. Is this supposed to be the text message where she goes radio silence for a couple days? We're in this together, and we are two of this most determined people I know. We also have very high bars set for ourselves. To collaborate with that type of partner is a gift that neither of us will squander, because we both care too much about the results and also the experience. I also have no motives except for you to win as a director, as an actor, as a studio, as a writer. If you win, I win. If you win, our movie wins. We are aligned, and I will bring everything I have to this. I'm not gathering from Blake what Baldoni is trying to sell. And I'm not gathering from this text message evidence that Baldoni submitted that he was in disagreement with her rendition of the rooftop scene. Are you? Am I missing it? Okay. There's more. As for Blank and Ryan, and Blank for that matter, I'm the luckiest motherfucker on the planet to have them as my dance moms, level stage moms. They are embarrassingly effusive. That said, they're also my most trusted partners and the people I go to first with anything creative I touch. And I'm the person they each go to first. That reciprocal creativity and support has been one of my life's greatest and most fulfilling gifts. When they loved and signed off on the pages, I felt good to send them to you. They asked what you thought specifically after. They checked in so many times. I told them that you laughed a bunch and said it's probably a blend, but you appreciate my passion so much. Which, of course, didn't feel great for me or them. I'm lost.
Yeah, what?
Where is this going off course? I'm just lost. To have my passion be praised instead of any specific contribution, or even just that you didn't like the pages, which was fine also. Okay, so something's missing here. I didn't see where Justin disagreed with her stuff. And now she's referencing this disagreement. So I think They wanted you and me to see how they felt about the work because they've been by my side for far too many experiences where I've been overlooked. I spoke to you about this when we first met. They've met me. They've watched me handwrite scripts because the director is too afraid to send the FedEx file. Yet he scans and has someone hand type all 120 pages of my pencil rewrites. Do people still handwrite and pencil? And pencil? Because that's impressive. I don't think I've done that since the 90s, like when I was in high school. They've watched me be hired as a writer and paid significant. She's given her resume, which I could give a shit about. It's more the principle of the dynamics at play. They've watched the other side of it, too, where I'm told at signing on that I'm wanted as a true collaborator. But once we get to work, I'm really just wanted as a yes man, audience, and actor. Okay, so if it were me and I was working with Blake and I got this text, like, Blake, I respect you and your process. I don't think this is going to work out. This script requires strict adherence to the original story, and your rendition of it is just too far off center of our North Star. And so, look, I don't want to disparage you at all. I'm just saying, if you don't think you could do it, then we're going to have to get somebody else. We could collaborate in the future on something that's, you know, completely your doing, but if we do it your way, it's just not going to have the same message as was intended by the original script. Have that conversation, and then if she says F you, then, you know, whatever. Get Jenna Ortega. Get Margot Robbie then. Apparently she's younger. I didn't even know that. Both Ryan and I have established, or Blank, have established themselves as absolute titans of, as writers and storytellers outside of their primary gig. The second somebody tells me that they are a titan story writer, get the fuck out of here. I'm done responding. I don't think I would read the rest of the text. I wouldn't. Why don't you and Ryan go be titans somewhere else? I mean, you know, if I had other options, I'm saying. There's no guarantee that I would. Just singing or just acting or just directing, I'm so lucky to have them as creative barometers, but also to have them as people who prop me up and make sure I'm seen for all I can do and offer, because they know firsthand all I would be so annoyed with this text message. Like, Blake, you don't got to try that hard, man. You're cool. We're cool. I don't need the resume. I don't need this whole preamble. They also know I'm not always as good at making sure I'm seen and utilized for fear of threatening egos or fear of affecting those. They don't give a shit about that. And because of that, everyone listens to them with immense respect and enthusiasm. So I guess I have to stop worrying about people like me. Yeah. I don't know what that emoji is. It looks like she's throwing up her hands emoji. The gang sign emoji. If you ever get around to watching Game of Thrones, you'll appreciate that I'm Khaleesi. Wait a minute. Wasn't Khaleesi?
It wasn't. She didn't play Khaleesi, no. It was, what's that actress's name?
I know who you're talking about. She's such a douchebag for saying that.
Yeah.
Not the Khaleesi actor. She wants to be Khaleesi. I'm Khaleesi and like her. I happen to have a few. Get the fuck out of here, dude. I'm all the way out. You start talking like that, man, we can't be friends. We just can't. So really, we all benefit from those gorgeous monsters of mine. You will too, I can promise you. All right. So when I got that text message, my question is, as a judge, is then why didn't you just get rid of her if she was that difficult? Why make the concessions? So difficult proved to be a gross understatement. Though Baldoni initially invited Lively to make changes to the script, Lively began altering the script daily. The frequency of Lively's revisions alarmed the producers, director, and studio, who anticipated that her interference would persist every day of the shoot and disrupt the carefully planned production schedule. Each shooting day was intricately scheduled long in advance. How are we doing on time, Dominic?
Hour 15 right now.
Oh, it's not too bad. Let's keep it for now. I'm going to try to wrap this up in 10 minutes. And Lively's constant changes place significant stress on the production crew, not to mention financial. Okay. Here is text messages from the producer. Are you listening to this? She's fixing the script. I think Angie's advice was actually wrong. Blake is now directing the movie. This is bad. Jamie He says, I'm listening. Talking through it is better than not. Seeing what's possible as long as any decision is done with approval. Producer, not for something that was already intimately planned. This will be every day of the shoot. I know. I'm not sure what can be done, honestly, at this point in terms of, you can't really read it, Blake. More than a year later, during a red carpet interview of the New York film premiere, Lively stated the iconic rooftop scene, my husband actually wrote it. Nobody knows that, but you know. This startling revelation directly contradicted Lively's previous insistence that she had written the scene, and certainly cast Reynolds' high praise for the rewritten scene in a different light. The film's credited screenwriter, when asked about the claim that Reynolds had written the scene, graciously responded, "So if I'm being told that Ryan wrote that, then great. How wonderful," she went on to acknowledge. "There were a few little flourishes that I did not write, and if those flourishes came from Ryan, I think that's wonderful." This was also the first time that plaintiffs learned that Reynolds, who had no formal role whatsoever in the film's production, had made unauthorized changes to the script in secret. Baldoni, equally blindsided by this news, which he discovered in real time during a recorded interview with Access Hollywood, reacted by also praising Reynolds so as not to harm Lively. Reynolds wrote the scene and possibly others during the WGA strike or the film. Lively's remarks about Reynolds' purported contribution to the script raised eyebrows sky high at Sony, who told Wayfair that they certainly needed some clarity on public comments made about Ryan Reynolds potentially contributing writing services for the rooftop scene. And there's an email identifying that, I guess. Still during the pre-production phase, Lively and Reynolds raised entirely false allegations of fat shaming against Baldoni, an accusation that, as evidence will show, was categorically false. But will it? Because if the fat shaming incident came in the trailer when they were having a tiff about the wardrobe, we're not going to get evidence any more than what we already have in these pleadings. She's going to say one thing, he's going to say another. There's not going to be evidence unless somebody recorded it somehow or somebody else witnessed it. And that very might well have been the case. But if it's just they have competing versions of what happened, we're not going to get anywhere with that. All right. So here's more text messages. What is this about? Baldoni had been introduced to trainer Don, who became Baldoni's personal trainer by Lively. Don directed Baldoni's preparation for the film role. You know what we're going to do? We're going to wrap up here at paragraph 46. We are like in page, how many pages? 27 of 179. And I promised that I'm not going to read the entire thing. What I wanted to do was just get through his statement of the facts. I didn't realize that his statement of facts was going to be like 170 pages long. 0.6? Oh, this is the good stuff. Oh, they start talking about nudity to writers. You know what we'll do? On Monday, we're going to revisit this, and we're going to start going over all of these specific points that he's getting to. But here is my thoughts so far about what's going on. Look, Blake might be difficult to work with. She might be all those things. She might just be a pill. Maybe she is. But there was a reason why Baldoni was making these concessions. Why? I don't know. Maybe he was trying to be nice. Maybe it was because she had something on him. Maybe it was because there was bad behavior on his part that he wanted to conceal. Maybe it was because a lot of different things. But this spat, the way that it is characterized by Baldoni, I guarantee you did not go down that way. I think the text messages that we revealed in Lively's lawsuit, sure, probably taken out of context for sure, but they highlight that this was a known disagreement for months leading up to the production of the film. And there was probably definitely things that were said. And I'm not so far buying Baldoni's rendition of it, because mostly that's his attorney's fault, because his attorney is writing this as pure fluff. There's no meat on the bones here. There's nothing to latch on to. There are these emails, but then they raise more questions than they provide answers, which is namely, okay, so if she was doing all that, then why not just get rid of her? She wanted to change the wardrobe. Fine, then get somebody that will not change the wardrobe. She wanted to change the script, then get somebody that won't change the script. She's not the only attractive blonde-haired lady that could play a 23-year-old. And by the way, she's 37. Margot Robbie was 34, as I've learned. Jenna Ortega might actually be 23 years old. Get somebody that fits the part that's not going to be so difficult, and you'll have a better time. Why are we wasting time? Maybe because they're trying to get into the Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively circle of trust? Is that what we're doing? Then you knew what you signed up for, and you acquiesced to it at every stage of the production. And what are we complaining about? You're complaining now because she filed a lawsuit against you for making inappropriate contact or comments. We'll get to the bottom of that. But now you're defending yourself, and the way that you're defending yourself is by trying to justify actions that you're trying to recategorize, not necessarily denying it. You're just saying it happened, but just not the way that she said. So where do I sit with this? I still don't know who's right or wrong. I just know that I'm highly annoyed by the way that these lawsuits have been written and how they have played out so far. And we'll see where we're at. On Monday, I'm going to go through further stuff with this lawsuit, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of it. I wouldn't normally, but you guys really seem to like it and want it, so we're going to keep doing it. For today, that is the Baldoni lawsuit. That's how it's initiated. That's where we're going with it. That's my opinion of it so far, and we will re-examine on Monday.